Well, as you can see in your outline, the lesson, how did I get in this mess? I'm satisfied without a doubt in my mind that somewhere along the line, we have asked that question and may ask that question on occasion. I think of a person in high school who's week before graduation and he's gotten into a fight and he's taken and been suspended and he's sitting in the principal's office waiting for his parents to come and pick him up. I'm thinking that maybe he might ask that question, how did I get in this mess? I also think of an individual that is sitting in the back of a police car because maybe he has done some drugs. Maybe he was speeding, just gotten his driver's license. And I think that maybe he might would ask that question, how did I get in this mess? I think about a man who takes and is coming back from a night that he has spent with another woman and coming back to his wife and trying to tell her the lies and cover up the mess that he's made. And I'm sure he would ask that question, how did I get in this mess? So this morning I would like to take and turn our Bibles to the book of Judges. This morning we're going to spend the majority of our time in the book of Judges. The first thing that I want to bring out particular in this study is about the parents of this individual. They belong to the tribe of Dan, as they would be Danites. Never gives the mother's name, but it gives the father's name, Manoah. And we find here in particular in chapter 13 that, of course, an angel of the Lord had appeared to the mother. And the angel of the Lord had said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. We know that God allowed the Philistines to take over the Israelites because of their disobedience. And they happened to be under that control for about 40 years. Well, the woman was so surprised that she wanted to tell her husband, so she went and she told her husband. She told him exactly what had taken place. A man of God had come to her, and that his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very awesome. I think the King James Version says very terrible. So in our definition of terrible and awesome, that kind of blows things out of the water, doesn't it? I think of the speech that people use today that we always thought was bad things, and they use it as a good term, you know. And so I think of that. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine, no similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. So you think about this. Manoah here is now approaching God in prayer, asking God to send this angel back again. I don't know what to do to raise a child that is a Nazarite. And I need to know, so you need to let me know what I need to be doing. And so God listened. He listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband, and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just appeared to me." So Manoah rose and followed his wife, and when he came to the man, he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." And Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I command her, let her observe." And so Manoah said to the angel, he said, "Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a young goat for you." And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord." For Manoah did not know that he was talking to the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you." And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why do you ask me my name, seeing it is wonderful?" So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering, offered it up on the rock to the Lord, and did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked upon it. It happened as the flame went toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell with their faces to the ground. When the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Oh, wow. What an experience. What a thing to happen at that point in time. And so now we see that Samson was of the tribe of Dan. We know his daddy's name was Manoah. In chapter 14 is where we will begin our lesson this morning. The first step that Samson did that was wrong is the very first step that a lot of people do that is wrong, that ask the question, "How did I get in this mess?" And that first step is what so many people do in our society today. And it's this. First, he did what he wanted to do. You know, a member of the church made a mention to me many years ago, and I talked about how difficult it was seeing people falling away from the gospel of Christ. And he said, yes. He said, but people in the world do what they want to do. And I thought about that. And you know it's true. It's a very true statement. If you want to be a Christian, you're going to do everything you can to be a child of God. If you want to be of the world, you're going to do those things of the world. And oh, how difficult it was for Samson. Verse 1 of chapter 14, Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughter of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, "I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife." His father and mother said to him, "Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." Wow. Wow. Well, I think it's obvious to see, first of all, that Samson is doing something he wants to do. Even though his parents had suggested to him, that's not a wise thing, you need to get somebody from here. No, that's not what he wanted. He wanted this Philistine woman. Of course, in the next verse, what we do find out is that the Lord, they didn't know that the Lord, he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. But still, even so, Samson played the role that he shouldn't have played. Did you notice that sometimes, whenever the Lord has a plan, that sometimes we see that men go and they jump in there and alter that plan just a little bit? Yeah. Yeah. That happens so many times. And of course, there's consequences for that. But here's the things that are involved when something like that happens. First of all, pride is one of the most dangerous sins there are, and Satan just loves it. Thinking so much of self. But the proverbial writer says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. And indeed it does. And then there's selfishness. Paul wrote, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Two very important points there. And this is the biggie, and you deal with this when you're raising children. You deal with this when you're trying to help your elderly adults. And that is unwilling to listen. Unwilling to hear. So when one makes up their mind that they want something, there's not one thing that can be done, even if it's from the Bible, to try to pull them away not to do that. Yeah, that's sad. It's very sad. I used to tell my children all the time, they would say, well, so-and-so. I said, well, you don't have to go out and sit on a railroad track to know if a train hits you, it's going to kill you. You don't have to do that. That's going to happen. That's a guarantee. And so I always tried to get them not to think in that way, even though they did. I can tell you right now, most of them did. The second problem that Samson had was he hung around the wrong people. He hung around the Philistines and spent quite a bit of time with them. As a matter of fact, Solomon is a perfect example of that. Solomon, who was the wisest man there ever was, of course, found himself listening to the women that he had, of which he had many, and of course turned him away from God. And that can happen so easily. So you really need to focus on the people that you spend time with. You will never be strong if you're always hanging around with weak people. And that's so important, so important. Samson had a bit of a problem here. He had a lot of strength, of course, and we're going to see where that strength came from. But a lot of people, their ties in school, their worthless family members, clouds their eyes completely to how they're being influenced. Their spiritual heart is dying, and they do not even see it. Here's what Paul warns. He says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. 1 Corinthians 15:33. The next one is the biggie. And that is the fact that he disobeyed God. And of course, Samson married someone who was outside of the nation. And it seems as though once you start disobeying God, the floor drops out and you are on a steady decline all the way down. Breaking his Nazirite vow are just more of the issues and sins that surrounded Samson. So I'd like for you to look here in chapter 14, beginning at verse 7. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. After some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. Now, Samson had killed that lion. going one way, and as he came back, of course, here's this lion's carcass, and it has the honey in it. Well, you understand that under the Old Testament, anything that was dead, you weren't supposed to spend any time with or be around. So he got the honey from the carcass, he gave it to his mom and dad, and they ate, he ate. And he says he took some of the some in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave them some, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. You see? Isn't it interesting? Samson's very much like our children can be sometimes. They won't tell you everything. They might tell you some things, but the things they know that are wrong, they're going to kind of leave that part of it out, you see. That oftentimes, we were there too, weren't we? Oh, yes, we were. Oh, yes, we were. So his father went down to the woman and Samson and gave a feast there for the young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to them, "Let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing." Which to us, not a big deal. It was then. It really was a big deal. Okay? "But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing." And they said to him, "Pose your riddle, that we may hear it." So here's what he said. "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." Well, they couldn't get it. After 3 days, they just could not get it. So they entice his wife, the woman that he was going to marry. And here's what they say to her. "On the seventh day," that they said, Samson's wife, "entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire." Wow. Blackmail, threat, however you want to look at it, this is what they used to try to get her to explain it to them so they could explain it to him. Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me." Oh, wow. She's using it all, isn't she? "You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me." Yeah. "And he said to her, 'Look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother. So should I explain it to you?'" That wasn't really the safest spot to be in either, you know. "And now she had wept on him the 7 days, and of course, it happened that the seventh day he told her because he pressed so much against him. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. So the men of the city said to him, 'On the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?' And he said to them, 'If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle.'" Made Samson so angry. He was so upset. He went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men and took their apparel and gave the changes of clothing to those who explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back to his father's house. Look what he's done. He's left his wife. He up and left his wife. And in verse 20, it says, Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. Oh, wow. And for chapter 15, it says in verse 1, "After a while in time of the wheat harvest, he happened that Solomon visited his wife with a young goat, and he said, 'Let me go into my wife, into her room, But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you were thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please, take her instead. Samson was furious. So he went and caught, verse 4, 300 foxes. And he took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail, and put a torch between each pair of tails. When he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes run into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. He was so upset. He was so angry. Then the Philistines said, Who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came and burned her and her father's house. Oh, wow. Wow. Samson said to them, Since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you. So he attacked them with the hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of Edom. So what we find is the Philistines got so upset that they went searching for Samson and went sound Samson. I'm thinking of supper. Samson went in and took and got so upset with Samson. And of course, they went over to Judah and they camped out there and they wanted to know why they were coming up against them. And they said the reason why is because we want to arrest Samson. And so what we find is 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of Edom and said to Samson, Do you know what the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us? And he said to them, As they did to me, so I have done to them. Oh, there's so many lessons I think you could get out of that just one section there. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. There's just so many things that you can look at in this particular section here. But there's one thing that I want us to focus on right now, and that is the fact that it took 3,000 men to go get Samson. That's a lot of men. And so therefore, they explained to him why they were there. They were coming down to arrest him, or to arrest him. And so they bound him in new ropes, and they took him to the Philistines. Samson just asked one thing. Y'all don't kill me. Take me and deliver me to the Philistines, but you don't kill me. And they did just that. They told him, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to take you to the Philistines, turn you over to the Philistines, and that's what they did. Well, in verse 14, it said, When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were in his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. He threw the jawbone from his hand and called the place Ramoth Lehi. Well, we find that in verse 20 that Samson judged Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Wow. Look at what all he did. And yet what we find that took place with Samson in chapter 16... They had taken, and they, of course, I want to not bring up about Delilah just a minute. It won't take long with Delilah because verse 1. Now Samson went Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait with him night at the gate of the city and were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it's daylight, we will kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. This guy is super strong. No doubt about it. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came to her and said, entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and what means we may empower him, that we may bind him and afflict him, and every one of us give 1,100 pieces of silver if you'll do that for us. So Delilah went to Samson. And so she asked Samson where his strength came from. Well, the first thing he told her is fresh bowstrings. Go get some fresh bowstrings, my strength will be gone. Well, that wasn't true. That wasn't true at all. They got the fresh bowstrings, and he busted them open. So they lied. He lied. He deceived her. And it upset her. She made that clear. You have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me what may be bound with. And so this is what he said to her the second time. New ropes. Give me some new ropes and I won't be able to have that strength. And so Delilah went and got new ropes, bound him. And of course the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room. He says, but he broke them off his arms like thread. Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked and told me lies. You know, I would be getting concerned about this always coming about, wouldn't you? So the next thing that she asked is, you lied to me again, tell me what it is. Well, if you'll weave my hair tightly in the batten of a womb. And she did, and she left the pin in. And when the Philistines came, he was able to escape from that. Then she said, you have mocked me these three times and have told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass she pestered him daily, and her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and told her, not a razor has come upon my head. If I lose my hair, I lose my strength. And so that's what she did. You can read about how well she did it. She lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Here's the sad part. Following God generally keeps us safe, generally keeps us healthy, and generally keeps us with a sound mind. He is bald at this point. And here's what the Philistines do to him. And I want to take a look at what they have done to him. They put him in prison. They lock him up after they have burnt out his eyes. So he's blind. He has no strength, none whatsoever. So they put him to work in the prison. And it tells here that he is in brass chains, verse 21, and this is how it says it. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with brass chains, and he became the grinder in the prison. But a key point to keep in mind his hair on his head began to grow again after he had been shaven. So the lords of the Philistine had a great party because all of a sudden they have gotten Samson. And now their God has helped get them. And I want you to notice the point that they make here. Now the lords of the Philistines, verse 23, gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their God and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson our enemy." When the people saw him, they praised God and they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands your enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." So here's what they feel. So they're having this great party. And this great party that they're having is there's an area where the people are at the lower level, and at the upper level there's another area where people are, and they're so excited that they've got Samson. Now they want him to perform for them. Now he's blind. He asked a young man, as he had performed, and put his left hand on one of the pillars and put his right hand on the other pillar. Now, I want you to notice something here because it's really important. Verse 28, "Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, 'O Lord, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines.' And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which support the temple, and he braced himself against them, and one in his right hand, the other in his left. Then Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life." Yeah. And then we get over to Hebrews, and we look in Hebrews there, chapter 11 and verse 31. And what do we see? We see that Samson had great faith. He had faith in God. So the fourth point is this. He became weak. He became enslaved. When we have fallen away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, we lose our vision. And when we lose that vision, once we have lost it, our perspective changes completely. We're no longer focused on the church. We're no longer focused on Christ. The only things we're focused on is the things of the world. And Paul says the wages of sin, the price you've got to pay for sin is death. Romans 6:23. The spiritual and eternal are replaced with this world. You know, when I looked at my lesson, I'm preparing my lesson, I'm thinking Demas, how quick it was for him to turn away from God and to love the world more than he loved God. Because you see, the world is the things you can see and touch. It's the things that you actually see going all around you. But to believe in God, you have to have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without that faith, we will lose sight of where we need to be. And so habitual sins become the biggest thing in our life. Stuck on this merry-go-round of wrong, we can't seem to find a way out, and it's on a downward spiral. The attitude stinks. Your choices are wrong. Your language is rude and offensive. We start taking on the world more and more, and Satan carries us so much further than he ever wanted to go. The prisons are full of people who have made some severe wrong choices because they got angry. He lost his freedom. We actually lose our freedom when we decide not to follow God. Being a Christian is a choice. God's not forcing anyone to be a child of God. If you want to be a child of God, He's inviting you and allowing you the opportunity to take part of the most wonderful family there is. Samson, he finally died. He finally died, but it's obvious that he had made some changes when needed. God wants every individual on the face of the earth to become His children. That's His desire. That's why He gave His only Son on that cross of Calvary. And in a moment when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll go back and we'll remember and think about the time that our Savior died on that cross because of our sins, not because He was a sinner, but because of our sins, and He carried our sins to the cross. John writes, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. He also writes, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. James writes, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, when he has been tested, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." So God's made it possible that every single individual can prepare while in this life to go to heaven. And if you're asking the same question as our text is, how did I get in this mess? I want you to know that God is willing to get you out of it. But it's entirely up to you. So we extend the invitation to you now as together we stand and sing the song of invitation. Thank you.